Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, ghosts of the West Virginia State Penitentiary. Originally built to somewhat mimic a prison in Joliet, Illinois, the West Virginia State Penitentiary is a massive Gothic structure that looks like it could be the set of a horror movie where the dead return to feast on the flesh of the living as a group of holdouts seek solace behind its strong walls. It's already been done, though. The West Virginia State Penitentiary was home to countless famous inmates over the course of its life. It was also the site of countless murders, suicides, and unspeakable violence. Its limestone walls still hold much of this negative energy, which can be felt from the moment you walk through its gates. Several riots occurred on the property during its life, many which ended in death and emotional devastation. Today, the West Virginia State Penitentiary is used for corporate functions, meetings, retreats, weddings, and of course, ghost hunts. Today, we hear the real ghost stories of the West Virginia State Penitentiary as we talk with historian and paranormal investigator Sherry Brake.
Also known as Moundsville Penitentiary because it is located in Moundsville, West Virginia, which was originally Virginia before 1863 when it became West Virginia. The reason that they located the penitentiary to that area of the state instead of it being more centrally located was because at the time in 1866, the capital of what is West Virginia was Wheeling, West Virginia. So it made much more sense to locate the prison where it stands today. Before the prison was erected, you had pretty much any type of hanging or execution that was to be done would be done at the local fort or the blockhouse or out in front of the local county jail. This area of West Virginia was greatly fraught with frontier massacres, Indian wars back and forth, because you're not very far away from the Ohio River, which was, of course, you know, like the main tributary. Going back to the Lewis and Clark days with movement up and down the river, you had a lot of the Indians resenting the whites coming to the area. So the location where the penitentiary sits today had a lot of dark and bloody history even before it was built. It's a fascinating location. When people arrive at the penitentiary, they're very surprised to find that it sits basically in the middle of a subdivision or an allotment, completely surrounded by houses and people. It sits in the middle of a neighborhood. But back when it was built in 1866, it was actually on the outside of the city limits. So you've got urban sprawl happening, and you've got lots of houses going up directly around the perimeter of the prison. You have to understand, too, the terrain in the area. You know, Western Virginia, even Northern West Virginia is mountainous in some areas. So there's only so much flat area that you can build on. And, you know, you've got all these houses that are going up. You've got the 1940s, the 1950s, the 1960s, when the factories are starting to be up and running there in Moundsville. So you've got people coming in and building houses. And of course, when these riots happened, you know, you'd have vigilantes that scaled the walls of the penitentiary, and they would be running through your front yard, you know, and, you know, with cops in full pursuit. So things got pretty exciting for a lot of the people that lived in the area. When these executions would take place, these state executions would take place, neighbors from around the area could simply go over and watch these executions taking place out in the main yard. So, you know, that was a great sense of entertainment up to a certain period when they put a stop to it. But, you know, being centrally located like that, it's good and it's bad. You know, and a lot of these executions that took place, I mean, it was a very public event. You know, not just in West Virginia or in Appalachia, clear across the nation. This was a source of entertainment for people. You would load up the wagon and, you know, the wife would put on her best dress and bonnet and you'd load the kids up. Sometimes you'd pack a picnic lunch. And you would go off to these county jails and you would watch someone be hung.
When they decided to build such a structure, such a large, hulking structure in this community, what was the reaction of the locals at the time?
Well, I would imagine they were probably glad to see some type of Gothic fortress going in. The labor that went into constructing this was significant. Of course, you would use the prisoners to construct the prison. That's cheap labor. The stone was quarried locally. It was limestone. And they started to construct this Gothic fortress that kind of looked a little bit like a castle from the front of it. They designed it after a prison that is in Illinois called Joliet. So the footprint of the prison basically mirrors that one of the one in Illinois. Very thick walls, 4 to 5 foot thick. The actual structure itself went down into the ground, the foundation, at least 6 to 7 feet down into the ground to prevent tunneling. Because not only are people going to try to get out by fleeing through a doorway or a air conditioning duct, you know, later on. They're going to construct ropes, tie sheets together, try to go over the prison, but they're also going to try to go under the prison. So when they constructed it, they wanted to make it as secure as it could be. But there were numerous escapes, many successful, some that were unsuccessful. When I did the research for my book that I wrote on the prison, it's called The Haunted History of the West Virginia Penitentiary, I came across a very well-known escapist. His nickname was Fast Freddy. And he escaped numerous times, I think 13, 14, 15 times from the penitentiary. And each time he would escape, he would make a point to get a postcard and write, "Wish you were here," on it, and send it and address it to the warden of the penitentiary. So I'm sure that really got under the warden's skin to have Fast Freddy out and about and sending him postcards from wherever he might be at. When the construction was completed, you had a pretty large facility. It housed men and women, both in the early years. And a lot of people find that surprising, but you've got women criminals that need to go somewhere. Probably the most famous woman to be incarcerated at the West Virginia Penitentiary was Charles Manson's mother. Charles Manson did not have a very good start early on in his young career and his young life. His mother had several children by several different fathers. They moved up and down along the Ohio River and at one time lived in a nearby town of McMeekin, West Virginia, which is right on the Ohio River there. His mother would go out and about to various taverns and would drink and carouse, and she actually sold Charles Manson as a baby for a pitcher of beer at a local bar. So, you know, he had a pretty tough life early on. The reason that she ended up at the penitentiary is that she and her brother attacked a man at a gas station in Charleston, West Virginia, and she ended up being incarcerated at the pen for a period of time. While you were an inmate at the penitentiary, as a woman, not only were you just an inmate, but you would be given jobs. You cooked, you cleaned. And Charles Manson's mother, Kathleen, also had a job while she was incarcerated at the penitentiary. And this is according to urban legend. Of course, there's no documentation with this. Her job was that she was to clean up under the scaffolding after a hanging took place. And allegedly, the hanging that she had issues with was a decapitation. They went to hang the criminal who'd been sentenced to death and had misjudged his weight. And when he was hung, he was decapitated. And the head, allegedly, as I said before, this is urban legend, rolled towards her feet as she stood there witnessing the execution. And a lot of people, they question the connection with Charles Manson and the West Virginia Pen, because unfortunately there are a couple of documentaries out there and a couple paranormal television shows that state that he was an inmate at the prison, and he never was an inmate at the West Virginia Pen. His mother was, but Manson did write a letter to the warden of the West Virginia Penitentiary asking to be transferred to Moundsville because he felt such a connection to the area. And of course, that transport was denied. There was no way that California was ever going to transfer Charles Manson to West Virginia. But his letter is on display in the little museum area at the West Virginia Penitentiary. So visitors that come there can take a look at that and read his plea to be transferred back to the West Virginia Pen. It's pretty fascinating.
When she was incarcerated there, did he have much of a connection, much of a life, much of an upbringing from his mother? Or was it a very separated or non-existent relationship?
You know, I think his early childhood was pretty turbulent with different fathers and different children in the family. I'm sure there was a lot of chaos. I think the kids were ushered from aunts and uncles to grandparents and back to the family and back and forth. And, you know, I'm not a researcher with the Manson family, but I'd say he wasn't really given the best stability, stable childhood, as a youth when he was growing up. So it seemed like the whole entire family was kind of fraught with shame, with hard times, with being on the wrong side of the law and whatnot. But of course, that doesn't excuse anything that he did later on. But he did not have the best of upraisings.
A very storied history, a very interesting inmates over the course of the life of the West Virginia State Penitentiary. Many, many things happened there. Many events which ended in death and emotional devastation for those involved, both inmates and guards. Riots being one of them, another one of the events, and it's far too inaccurate to say one of the many events because there were hundreds of them. We're talking about escapes and escape attempts.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's just say there were several hundred escapes from this facility. You have not only the escapes taking place, people wanting to get out, because you got to think of all of the people that were incarcerated, the thousands and thousands of men, the hundreds of women that were taken there to this fortress. They were locked away. This was a penitentiary. This was some place that you were put because of something that you did and you did wrong. 85 hangings, 9 electrocutions in Old Sparky. You have over 998 documented murders and suicides in that building alone.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.